Trials Turned to Gold, PFR. This is Gospel for Grampian, and a warm welcome along to this Power Hour program, which is about applying God's word in prayer. And I was looking, casting about today for a theme for today, and the theme is Great is Thy Faithfulness, kindly given to me by someone who was going into a job interview, and he had asked for our prayers, which we duly did, and I'm very pleased to say that Mr. Gavin Kennedy has emerged with a job, and congratulations to him indeed. So great is thy faithfulness. How is God faithful to each one of us? Well, if we have a look in God's word, we will actually see a good number of instances. In fact, 47 instances of the word faithfulness alone. Psalm 98, verse 3. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the deliverance of our God. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, I could read through these, and we're going to read through quite a few of these Bible verses. But how is all this going to help us to understand God's faithfulness to us today? Well, first of all, I'm sure that many who have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour could, if they really thought about it, list instances where God has been extremely faithful. Now, I've said this quite a lot, and I shall most certainly say this again. God has been faithful every single time we jump into a car and go somewhere, because we don't know what's going to come at us on the road. And yet, in spite of our mistakes, we get to a place safely. Sometimes we may be forced to take a different route, and then we discover that the route we were going to travel on, there may have been an accident on there, and we would otherwise have been on that route. Or God actually is faithful and he helps us through the situations. Now, there's certain situations which we all face, and it's not easy, especially when we're waiting for something to happen. Playing the waiting game is not always easy, and it's something that God requires us to do again and again and again, and especially when it gets really difficult, when it looks like there are enemies on lots of different sides, or it looks like there are people who don't want you to succeed on different sides, or there are circumstances pressing in, for example, financial circumstances, for example, diseases, for example, wars, for example, disabilities, for example, well, anything could come in, or just circumstances that other people make. We know what we ought to do, and we can't always work out how to get there. That's when God's faithfulness comes into its own. A long time ago, I so much wanted to have a girlfriend, a wife, and I knew that was expected of me, but it just wasn't happening. I tried lots of people at church, and that didn't work. And God just turned around and said to me, you know when God's spoken to you because you know it in your heart. He said, I want you to love me first and foremost. And that's what I had to do. And shortly after that, I then had like an invite. I'd saying, right, you've thought about this a lot, but what specifically do you want by way of a girlfriend, a wife? So I knelt down and wrote about 30 or 40 different attributes of what I wanted. And I tell you what, God has answered every single one of those and more in the shape of Helen. And I thank God for that. That is Helena's example of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to me. And in other ways, God has been faithful. Even getting to the airport, to an airport, when there's a lorry fire on the motorway. I've told this to you before. I prayed massively. My brother doesn't actually believe. He doesn't trust in God. I did pray. My brother was driving. He said, I don't care how much you were praying, we're not going to get there in time to catch the plane. I carried on praying. We got to the airport, somehow, and there was still enough time for me to check in. I was onto the plane within virtually 15 minutes of arriving at the airport. Now that's going saying something. And the case was off in Aberdeen the first. That, again, is an example of God's faithfulness to me. Some people might say, oh, that was in a coincidence. I would say not. Even my brother realised that something special had happened and was amazed when I'd got to Aberdeen in really good time. These are examples of God's faithfulness. Gospel for Grampian is an example of God's faithfulness. We've had all sorts of challenges over the years. Challenges from volunteers, financial challenges. We've had other challenges, technical challenges, but yet God has kept us going. Why? Because he has a greater purpose. In life, we will have many challenges, but God gets us through these challenges. I would invite you to take a little time now to, in your minds, think of these challenges that you have been through as we pray. And remember, this is Power Hour, and it's about applying God's word in prayer. And some of the things we've talked about a little bit earlier, we're going to be mentioning those things again in another part of this program. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, every day, Lord God, we face different challenges, and yet every day we find your mercies, which are new every morning. Lord God, I saw and I've seen some of your mercies as we've been away in Wiltshire, in Dorset, and you've got us out and back safely. You've enabled us to meet up with family and with friends. You've given us a good time when we've been away together. I thank you for that. Lord God, I pray particularly for our listeners, for those who don't yet know you, for my own brother as well, that through our lives, though often we look at our lives and we think, this is not really always honouring, but yet you take that and you work through that. I pray, Lord God, for every man, woman, boy and girl throughout the United Kingdom, that though it looks virtually impossible when people are so diverse, so different, even when it looks like there's so many things going on in people's lives, even when it looks like there's so much wrong in the world, Lord, you alone, by your faithfulness, can make huge differences in people's lives. And I pray that this program, which is about applying your word, goes and does that, makes the differences in people's lives. And so, Lord, truly, that this is a power hour. A power hour for the people. A power hour for hope. Lord, your word says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 14 verse 6, word says, Jesus said, I've come that may have life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life to the full. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. And even, Lord, when we don't get things right, you are still faithful. I pray that as I read some of these scriptures out now, Lord God, that you will speak into people's hearts and minds and show clearly that you are the Lord. You are King. You are Sovereign. You are Saviour. And that people can trust you. Micah 7 verse 20, you will give faithfulness to Jacob and benevolence to Abraham, which you swore to our fathers from days of old. In Zechariah, and I will bring them, and they will reside in Jerusalem, and they will be for me as a people, and I will be for them as God with faithfulness and righteousness. Romans 3 verse 3, what if some did not believe? Would their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? We read later on that, in actual fact, it doesn't nullify God's faithfulness. God is indeed faithful in every single way. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 90. Your faithfulness is for all generations. You have established the earth and it is firm. Psalm 119 verse 138. You have set your testimonies in righteousness and in faithfulness. Psalm 143 verse 1. A Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. Psalm 146, verse 6. Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that there is in them, who keeps faithfulness forever. So we understand from these scriptures that God is eternal. He is outside what we know of time. And God's word tells us, and we, all those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, believe the Bible, all the way from Genesis through to Revelation, 66 books are inspired by God. In fact, the Bible is said to be basic instruction before leaving earth. You tuned into Gospel for Grampian, and this is the Power Hour. We're thinking about God's faithfulness, but we're going to be more practical in our application of God's word. Not only to read scriptures from times gone by, but apply those scriptures to what is going on today. We have only to look at the news, and we read of lots of fraction going on over Brexit. A hard Brexit? A soft Brexit? What does it all mean? What about the negotiations? What's happening there? Lots of comment from economists. Lots of thought going on. But where does it leave everyone? Then there's issues over crime. There's issues of what to do with the economy. Issues about what the government should be doing, whether U-turns are needed, whether it's needed to go straight on with the policies. Then issues again over what's happening with the Grenfell Towers, the fires there. Issues of what's happening over terrorist groups like ISIS. Issues of indeed just seeing some of the latest news items in that there is work going on in Glasgow to design ideas to stop antibiotic resistance. We're using antibiotics so much that many of the viruses and bacteria are becoming resistant as they develop to the antibiotics that we take as medicines, that animals take as medicines. Where to go? All this is eating up a lot of our time, our energy, our emotion, our money. What do we do about all of this? Where do we go with all of this? How can prayer possibly help? What can possibly go on? My first prayer, my first point, is that all God's people are called to prayer. Each and every one of us. And the Bible tells us that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous? Can anyone be righteous? Not if we claim it of ourselves, but if we recognize that we in ourselves have no righteousness, but yet God has righteousness, and because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross, that when we ask it of God, and when we have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we can have God's righteousness. We can come to him in boldness. We can come to get him in faith. We can come believing. Now, the Bible also tells us that Abraham was counted righteous because he believed. He believed what God told him. And each of us can, if we trust God, also be counted as righteous if we believe. It means if we have faith in something that we do not yet fully understand. Most people, I think, are afraid to actually take that step. But let's think about taking steps in our own lives and even praying for something that's just a little bit out there. Why not try it? Each person tries something. Think of a situation in your family or someone you know as a friend who's going through a hard time just now. And we'll pray. So as I pray, I invite you to also pray right where you are. Perhaps in your car, perhaps just quietly sitting in a cafe with headphones on, or wherever it is you are. Maybe you're sitting at your desk. Maybe going in and around the kitchen. Whatever you're doing, take a little time to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, that you answered the prayers that I made this morning about Gavin. And I thank you, Lord, that he got his job. But Lord, there's so many others, other people who I know who are going through difficult situations, family situations, marital situations, people I've read about in the news just now and recently, like the chef who has throat cancer. And I thank you, Lord, for the overwhelming grace that he and his wife have received. But yet, Lord God, just as you have healed people, you healed the centurion's son. And even now, from here, I pray for this gentleman, this chef who has throat cancer and a tumour. Lord, you can take that tumour away right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, there's so many people going through financial difficulties, having to rely on food banks, having to really struggle to get help with universal credit and going into debt very quickly. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray about them. Amen. Now, during this prayer, you might well have had other people come to mind, and hopefully you will have named them directly. God hears those prayers. He invites us to pray for others. And you might say, would God even hear my prayer? I believe he will. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are people out there who are worrying as to whether you have even heard, let alone would grant, the prayers that they have prayed. But you, Lord, are a faithful God. And Lord God, your word says that fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord Jesus Christ, for those people, may they experience peace of mind and heart, that their prayers too have been answered by you. May they experience peace of mind and heart, that those who they prayed about, whether about themselves, about their family members, about friends, about colleagues. Colleagues maybe with life-limiting illnesses, children with life-limiting illnesses. People suffering from loneliness or depression. Also, people who have Alzheimer's. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thinking about one particularly, one gentleman who is in Reading. And I pray that you would restore to him a quality of life he has not known in ages, that you would also do for him by way of giving him back even sight, so that he can see again. So that, Lord, I'm praying for that and believe that you are able to do that. Amen. Now, there are lots of other things that we wonder what we can do, how we can actually make a difference. Lots of pressure groups out there, and we feel good when we contribute to them. We feel good when we vote for things. Does it go far enough? Or do we just feel bad again afterwards? Is anything on this earth really worthwhile? I would suggest that yes, and when we bring God into it, it does become worthwhile. Let's now pray specifically about antibacterial, antibiotic resistance. Thank you, Lord, that you give scientists, you give leaders, you give people wisdom to work out different things. Thank you, Lord, that there is a team working on antibacterial resistance. But Lord, we're asking you, Lord, to go one step further. We're praying, Lord God, that you would disrupt the viruses and the bacteria as they multiply and take away the resistance that they have. And I pray, Lord God, that you would make it such that there wouldn't be any need for expensive medicines, but that even simple medicines can get rid of lots of diseases. All the money that is being spent on things which can pollute the planet would instead be spent on helping people directly. We pray, Lord God, for wisdom for the leaders as they work out Brexit and they work out finances. Because, Lord, it's not easy knowing what and how. Lord, I know I wouldn't like to be a politician. And yet, Lord God, we often criticise the very people that we elect. Yet, Lord God, there needs to be something deeper. I pray, Lord God, that within there will be a deep-seated knowledge within all the leaders, the world leaders, and this country's leaders, that there needs to be a change of system, a change particularly of the mentality. Lord God, that you would go ahead of these leaders, give them wisdom and peace of mind that they need. Oftentimes, Lord, we don't think they even deserve it. But yet, Lord, do we? We're asking you now, Lord, that the right decisions will be made concerning the economy throughout the UK, throughout Europe, that Theresa May and her government and that Europe would work out the best solution possible for everyone to manage. And Lord God, also with regard to defence as well. Not defence and posturing for posturing's sake. Or indeed for any other sake apart from just protecting people. Lord Jesus Christ, we also pray, Lord, that there would be once again your kingdom, your righteousness prevailing at the very centre of the UK, European, United Nations, the American government, including Senate and Congress, including in Russia and in China, and all leaders of the world. Instead of a desire to control in a way which is against freedom, rather let governments see that people need to have a freedom to live life to the full, but not so that they can hurt others. We pray, Lord God, for a righteousness among the people and the leaders of all countries. We pray, Lord God, that the UK would, in spite of appearances, lead the way. That, Lord, you would actually take and bless the UK so that the UK can be a blessing and shall be a blessing to others. Have a look at Genesis 12, verse 2. Genesis 12, verse 2 speaks about making us a great nation, that you'll bless this nation and make our name great, and so this nation shall be a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Praying for all God's people, that the people which are called by your name shall humble themselves and pray, seek your face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then you will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. In the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Pray, Lord God, for all world leaders. Pray, Lord, that this nation, our Prime Minister Theresa May, the government and all world leaders do no wrong. But, Lord, they may do what is right, even though they should appear unapproved, for they can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. Now, here at the station, also, we believe that particularly those who are persecuted have a right also. And we're praying for all those who are weak and fatherless, afflicted, destitute, and persecuted of all nations. Thank you, Lord, that you will vindicate the weak and the fatherless and do justice to the afflicted, destitute, and persecuted of all nations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Have a little look at Psalm 82, verse 3. Now, I've actually added the word persecuted because many people are persecuted. They're persecuted for what they believe. Is that right? Thank you, Lord, that you will rescue the weak and needy of all nations and deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. Psalm 82, verse 4. Thank you, Lord, that you maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. In the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 140, verse 12. Thank you, Lord, that you will protect the strangers and you will support the fatherless and the widows of all nations. But, Lord, you thwart the way of the wicked. You will reign forever, thy God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 9 to 10. Thank you, Lord, that you will purge the evil from among us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 19, verse 19. I'm reading these things out. Why? Because this is reading God's word back to him again. It's reminding God of his word. And reminding of him of his word, he wants us to do that. He desires that we are bold. He desires to know as well what is on our hearts. God is faithful and just. And when we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive. Somehow, I believe that even each and every one of the prayers that and scriptures that we have read out in this program so far, God has heard. And I pray right now that in spite of our fears about diseases, in spite of our fears about terrorism, in spite of our fears about Brexit, about political instabilities in different parts of the world, in spite of what we fear about our own jobs, about our own families, God has heard the prayers I've made. God has heard the prayers that you have made in yourselves. God is faithful. One of the other prayers that we need to pray, and I will pray, I will put it out there, and that's simply that every man, woman, boy and girl throughout the United Kingdom would hear and receive the gospel by the end of 2017. Now that sounds like a tall order. It's a very tall order. Yet, even in a moment, that can happen. Why am I saying this? Well, it got me thinking the other day, because my wife and I were driving back up from the south of England, and en route we stopped off at Morecambe in Lancashire. Now in Morecambe there's a statue of Eric Morecambe, who many people will remember as a much loved comedian. And he did a double act with Ernie Wise, another much loved comedian. Although I think Eric Morecambe was more favoured in many ways. And there were little scripts and things engraved into stone all the way around this certain area where the statue was. There was another script saying that, I think it was in 1975, that a half of the population, about 28 million in those days, tuned in for the Christmas, BBC Christmas Morecambe and Wise show. That was about half the UK. Imagine, therefore, what happens if you get 36 million people tuning in to this programme. Now, I don't know how they would, but that can happen. Remember what I said at the start. God can move things in unusual ways. And he can make things be exactly where he wants them to be. We should not doubt God. God has said that the cattle on a thousand hills is his, and all the silver and the gold is his. Think about it this way. Whose was the money before you had it first? Where did that money come from? Where did the resources come from? How was it that we had exactly the amount of oxygen on this planet? Some might say evolution. Was it by chance or not? I don't believe it was. How is it that we have brains? We can think in languages. We have a wisdom that is given to us. How is it that we have all this? And there are so many unanswered questions. I'm sure you would agree. I can only put it down to one thing, and that is that there is a true and living God, and that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross in our place. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to make us right with him. And because God is faithful. God is faithful, so faithful that he's given us all the resources that we're ever likely to need. And we need to thank God for that. So in our time remaining, let's give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, firstly for giving me the knowledge and the words to present this program. Lord, I turn this program over to you at the start this evening, not sure how it would come out. But yet, Lord, you've kept things going. And I pray that this is reaching hearts and minds that are far beyond this land. reaching hearts and minds that may be in the United States, in Germany, in Canada, in China, in Japan. Reaching hearts and minds that are in France and the Netherlands, in Africa. And as people listen in also to the podcast, Lord God, that still more people may come to know your great faithfulness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord God, for the weather that gives rain, the weather that gives sunshine, the weather that gives the hard frosts that kill off the bugs. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you give that enables us to have everything that we do. We thank you, Lord, for helping us and giving us the capacity to learn and to learn from our mistakes, to be able to grow the food that everyone needs, to be able to care for others, to have the capacity to love and indeed be loved. You have given us, Lord, the capacity to virtually do anything. You've also given us the capacity to praise and to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Father, thank you. Thank you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing these prayers, not only the ones that I've spoken, but also the unanswered, the seemingly unanswered prayers, the prayers, the silent prayers of people's hearts and minds. No doubt this program has connected in just some way with them. Lord, take this program all over and make it speak to yet more people. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers, that this station would fulfill the vision that you've given, to engage, equip, enable communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Our prayers that believers from all denominations around the world would live, love and serve together to ensure that people are enabled to be engaged, equipped and able to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us. Thank you, Lord, that you will fulfil the vision of this station, not only to be online, but to be on FM, AM, digital, whatever. So that this station, rather, network of stations, would be able to take God's word far and wide, the gospel far and wide, to every tribe, tongue and nation. And it wouldn't just be one person doing it, but there would be very many. Local people, local languages, but indeed yet one real remit to proclaim, to demonstrate the gospel, to enable people to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. That is what we're about. Listeners, thank you for tuning in today. Please do tell others about us. Please do forward the program via from our podcast site. http://g4g.podbean.com, and that'll be available shortly after the end of the program. Please do forward that on to others, to friends, and keep in touch. Join with us in prayer another week. And if you'd like to get in contact, our email address is info@g4g.org.uk. You can also write on our Gospel for Grampian Facebook page. And you can send us a text, 07733421385. Lots of things coming up in the next wee while here on Gospel for Grandpa.